Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
Today we celebrate the Feast of the Precious Blood. It's an old feast from the old calendar, and it's something which we're hoping to be privileged to always be able to say. Our ordo is being worked on by Father Stefano, and the Holy See is, I think it's more than Father Stefano, it's probably the Father Stefano and the general chapter, and probably even some of the sisters' general chapter as well, working on it, trying to finalize it. It's a feast, as they say, it's a feast from the old calendar. I hope that we're able to celebrate it. In fact, I'm hoping a lot of the old feasts that were suppressed in the old calendar might be celebrated more frequently. It'll be interesting to see as we pass through this kind of transitional phase, what kind of happens between some of the old calendar and the new calendar, and what kind of crossing is allowed. But it's a beautiful feast as we contemplate, in particular, the precious blood of our Lord. And it calls to mind many of the various passages, even in this votive mass, which we celebrate, focus on the sacrifice, the more, the more gruesome part of our Lord's sacrifice. When you talk about, you know, he offered his blood, he shed his blood. And that involves, of course, any time, as we know, if we shed our blood, it involves pain and suffering. To give out one's blood doesn't come out without, you know, some kind of pain or suffering. Even the needle, when it goes in, it causes pain. We don't like it. Some people even faint and pass out at the mere sight of their own blood, never mind others. And so we realize the sacrifice. It helps us to realize the sacrifice that Christ made for us. We know that the body of Christ, in a certain sense, this is a sharing in the sacrifice. It's oftentimes, if we look back at the Old Testament, part of the sacrifice would be eaten. All right, so this is what we do with the precious body. We consume it, the precious blood. We also know we drink that. In particularly in the Old Testament, it was often sprinkled. Obviously, we don't sprinkle the precious blood. But in the Old Testament, the blood was sprinkled upon the person as a sign of washing, a sign of cleansing. So the blood signifies a cleansing. And obviously, because it's a spiritual cleansing, and also be out of reverence for our Lord, we don't splash it, we drink it, because it's an interior cleansing. Now we know, you know, by our faith that the body, the blood, the soul, and divinity under both kinds. And so the emphasis in this time is to emphasize the precious blood, to emphasize that spirit of sacrifice, asking ourselves with St. Paul, you know, have we shed our blood? Have we resisted temptation? Have we resisted sin to the point of blood? That's one of the exhortations of St. Paul. You know, have you resisted to blood yet? We haven't gotten that far. At least, I don't know of anyone yet. You know, no one's come up to me and said, you know, Father, you know, we might not be so far from giving that witness of the shedding of our blood for our faith. And I hope that, you know, God gives each of us that grace that when the time comes that, you know, we will be faithful. If God so graciously gives us that gift, it's not something that we want to presume on. I mean, many saints will tell us, you know, it's not something you presume that you just, you know, dive in there and ask for it. You might find that you get more than you expect and then you fail. It is a special grace. It's a gift. And we have, you know, our Holy Father, he sought that gift and it wasn't given him. And St. Anthony joined the friars, that hoping that he might shed his blood for the faith, and it didn't happen. There's many, St. Catherine of Siena, she's another one. In fact, she broke down in tears when she thought she was looking at the sword coming for her, and she was kneeling down, hopefully, as it was, the sword was coming to her, hoping to get her head cut off. And the person saw this devout woman kneeling down, ready for the sword, and he didn't have the courage to do it. And she broke out in tears because her Lord denied her the grace. She was so hoping that she was going to shed her blood, you know, for our Lord Jesus Christ. Would that we had the zeal of our Lord, you know, that we so look forward, or to have the sense of humor of, you know, St. Lawrence, you know, who says, you know, he's getting grilled alive, and he says, you know, I'm done now, flip me over. And then he says, after they've cooked him on both sides, he says, now I'm done, you can eat me. The humor of the saints. But it's also manifested in love. You know, it's not done in a way that's critical. It's even when they are offering up their life, they're always conscious in praying for those who witness the sacrifice, those who witness their giving up and shedding their blood. And it's, as I say, that's the seed of Christendom. It's almost one of the reasons why, you know, in more recent times, you know, we read the life of St. Maximian Kolbe. Many of the hidden martyrs that you would have in China, you know, they don't want you to know who the martyrs are in China. At least the government doesn't. And they threaten, they make huge threats if you even indicate that you're going to canonize one of their martyrs, someone who was over there and they know was shed their blood for the faith, because it gives courage to the Catholics. And so they don't want that news getting out. It happens. You know, die for your faith. And we know that, you know, we've heard from, you know, Cardinal Kuhn, who's managed to get out. There's many hidden martyrs over there. You know, on the last day, we'll know some of the great martyrs, the great sacrifice. That's one of the things I remember Father Hardin saying. The time of martyrdom is not over. And people think that, you know, the martyrdom is all over. The time of martyrdom is not over. It's something for us, certainly, you know, if God wills it, something to even pray that we have that courage. As I said, is if God will give us that grace, offer us that chance, that we don't fail. There have been some that offered that grace, failed. They didn't have that courage. They lost sight of the finish line. All they could think is the present moment and relief of that suffering of the present moment. You know, one of the things is I'm studying the communists, some of the things that they do, they really strive hard not to, one might say, take that passage of the gospel where our Lord says, you know, don't fear the one who can only take the life of the body but cannot take the life of the soul. Fear him who can take both body and soul and send it to hell. Well, they try it. They try the hardest. So you read some of the, St. Maximilian's life, or you study what happened like in Auschwitz, and you read some of the stories, you know, you study a little bit about communism, you find out that they do similar things. You know, they don't want you to give testimony to your faith. They want you to fail. And once you fail, that's it. You're done, buddy. You're out. They'll take you out after that. And so, as I say, you need to pray, you know, if the time comes, that you're faithful. Because the more you suffer, the longer you suffer, the greater the merits. And there have been martyrs that have been endured long suffering. That's actually one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you know, long suffering. And, you know, it can be done even mockingly. Some of the Jesuit martyrs, you read them, they were even mocked while they were suffering. You know, the things that the pagan Indians would do to the Jesuits, some of the Jesuit martyrs, particularly the leader of the martyrs when he died. And then I don't know if it was a priest, I think it was a brother, but he had a weaker constitution, but he suffered twice as long as his superior. And he used the superior's ejaculation that he had heard him saying, you know, praying for mercy for those who were doing these outrages. That love that's manifested in the sacrifice of oneself to God. This is what we contemplate when we think of Jesus' love for us. This is what the saints try to remind us of by the sacrifice of their own life. That's why we need to ask ourselves, you know, have we resisted temptation and sin to the point of shedding our blood? Not many of us yet, but who knows what the future may hold. May Our Lady grant us the grace to offer our lives according to God's will. If it be the white martyrdom of holiness, may she grant it to us. And if it be the red martyrdom of offering our blood to and union with our Lord to the Eternal Father for the building up of the body of Christ, the life of the Church, calling sinners back to God, if God grants us that grace too, may we have the courage to embrace it generously out of love for Jesus and Mary. Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Amen. Forever.